This is Frank, the Frank Peters Show.
Financial markets, and we came in with our presentation and we started explaining what we did. And there was a whole consortium of people sitting there, of the authorities, financial markets, the Dutch Central Bank, and there were 9-10 people sitting there, and we were pitching our idea, how we would transfer shares from the cooperative to the limited entity, etc., etc. And then all of a sudden they started laughing. They started laughing.
Oh, you know, that's a good sign usually, huh?
Normally when you're talking with regulators, when they start laughing, it's a good thing. But the only thing which was lacking was that they started laughing after the fact that I told them that what we created was in essence a transgressive stock market for SMEs. And they were quite appealed by that term, quite triggered by that term, because they said, all right, boy, and how old are you? And back then we were 26, so you can imagine that we had a kind of a legitimacy problem, and we tried to overcome that.
That's my guest today. That's Christian Zandvliet in Rotterdam, Simbid CEO, founder. And he's created a Eurozone crowdfunding platform, which is a pretty exciting thing to do when you're under 30. And we're going to learn more about it today. But first, let me say thank you to my sponsors. Let's start with the Yocca Law Firm here in Southern California, YOCCA. When you're getting your startup off the ground, check them out, please, yocca.com. And thank you to gust.com, where entrepreneurs and investors meet and collaborate from pitch to exit, gust.com. Well, by now you know that I spent 8 days in November in the Netherlands. I was invited to speak at Erasmus University in Rotterdam. And Christian will describe his role in how I ended up there and how we met earlier this year. But most of the time we're talking about his very exciting startup. Exciting for him. Exciting for entrepreneurs, but how will angel investors react? Crowdfunding, potentially very disruptive, new, what do you describe it? It's changing the game potentially for early stage investors. Are we ready? Are we going to resist? Are we going to drag our feet? I tell you, I think that entrepreneurs with their clever ideas are going to flock to crowdfunding platforms, and investors will feel compelled to follow. But those are just my opinions. You form your own. Let's listen.
My name is Christian Zandvliet, and I'm the co-founder of Simbid.
And Simbid, this is a crowdfunding platform. How did it all, what was that first idea that got the company started?
We started the company simply out of frustration of the funding landscape when we were in college, and we experienced that many of our peers, as well as ourselves, were experiencing great differences and difficulties in obtaining the necessary funding for our startup ideas and for our companies. So that's why we founded a company which can do exactly that.
So at the university, entrepreneurship's an exciting subject.
Yeah. Yeah, we were all studying entrepreneurship and new business venturing on the Rotterdam School of Management, which is a very hands-on curriculum. Students from all around the globe join the program simply to get hands-on experience with live business cases in order to turn them into businesses. And when people were first arriving in Rotterdam, they were asked in their first lesson within the curriculum, who wants to be an entrepreneur? And 100 people put up their hands like, yeah, that's what I'm here for. And after 9 months, the official curriculum ended and the same question was asked, who actually became an entrepreneur? And no one rose his hands.
Why do you think that is? They all eventually went to work for government.
This also triggered us as the founding team of Simbit, and we started investigating with our peers what are the reasons that you don't get funded, and it became that the lack of network connecting to wealthy individuals was kind of hard. Bank financings were at an all-time low, and on the other hand, we experienced that all these people were using Facebook, we're using Twitter, we're using LinkedIn on a daily premise. So there was a social infrastructure. However, it wasn't utilized to receive funding for any kind of venture. Mm-hmm.
So they were using all those social networking tools, but it really wasn't capable, right? That's why crowdfunding systems are happening right now. So a little bit, let's tell the audience. I was invited to moderate a panel in Moscow for EBAN on crowdfunding. You were my star panelist.
As it seemed, yeah. I enjoyed our panel, really, we enjoyed it quite well. It was actually for us the first time that we introduced equity-based crowdfunding to a more sophisticated audience in terms of investment knowledge. And of course, the first reactions, as you know, were kind of skeptical, like, yeah, guy, sure, equity investments over the internet, and how do you go about corporate governance, due diligence? But I think we showed them quite well that we were capable of performing all these, I would say, old-fashioned financial functions quite effectively using our online platform.
Mm-hmm. One thing I remember about that day was the audience could not fit in the room. We ran out of chairs. We brought more chairs in. People were standing in the doorway and outside in the hall trying to hear. So it's a popular subject. But again, with like traditional business angels, many of them feel threatened, I would say, by crowdfunding. You observe that too?
Yeah, we observed that to some extent, although we think it's more or less a misconception of the concept in itself. I think equity-based crowdfunding, in a way we utilize it, is also very beneficial for business angels in terms of diversification within the portfolio, hedging certain risk, but also syndication of angel investments can well be set up using our cooperative structure and using our platform.
Now, syndication, I've learned that in many places around the world, syndication is a very popular subject. I'm from Los Angeles. My angel group, I didn't realize it when I first joined, but we have a built-in syndicate. We span five cities, and we're a large angel group. So what I never realized was we were basically syndicating amongst ourselves. But in many places across Europe, Canada, many parts of the U.S. too, syndication's important. So how will syndication be enhanced on Simbit?
Yeah, what we normally experience when we're talking about angel investments within the Eurozone, we see that angel investors are actually quite territorial minded. So angel investors from Holland will not invest that quickly into German opportunities, for example, and vice versa. They're very much geographically located, and they make investments in a region about 50 kilometers from their actual living place.
Okay, now that's typical. I hear that at home too with my own angel group. They want to be able to drive to visit the entrepreneur. So that's consistent here.
Huh? Yeah.
So again, Simbit is going to like kind of camouflage that because it's all on the internet.
And thereby we also allow for smaller participations where we historically saw that angel investments in the Eurozone were of tickets between 25,000 euros up to a quarter million. We basically now say, all right, angel, instead of putting your 25,000 euros into one proposition, why not select 12 and do it together with your peers in either a private group or in a public group using the Simbit platform? And by doing so, you can allocate your money very effectively. You can make some new friends among angel investors. Networking remains a very important part of the platform, online as well as in an offline setting. But you get a grasp of all the opportunities that are available to you as an angel investor.
Okay, so that kind of diversification is probably the number one most important thing to succeeding at this kind of investing, whether you use a crowdfunding platform or not. That that gets beaten into us if, you know, some people say if you're not in 25 investments or more, you're at risk. So you must be highly diversified in your portfolio. So, okay, I get that. And then the big part of syndication, as I observe it, in the analog version of syndication, let's say, or the wet version, right, is you have to trust the people that you're syndicating with, right? That's when syndication really happens. That's why we go to conferences like EBAN and conferences all over the U.S. too, is we meet our peers in other regions. Then later, when they have a deal that maybe is on its second raise and they approach us with that, there's a beginning, a foundation of trust. So how do you virtualize that, Christian?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Frank. In response to that, many of the business angels are already connected with each other. If you do a proper LinkedIn analysis or you take a close look at the composition of angel groups throughout the Eurozone, you see that there are a lot of cross connections already between countries. However, the fact that a normal mechanism where you can use the internet to make your investment and to make it legally binding was lacking. With Simbit, we brought just that to angel investments. So in short, we try to overcome the seeming lack of trust within an online environment by providing an opportunity to existing structures to become digitalized as one.
How about Simbit? Is it going to be in a position to like introduce standards in terms of, let's say, term sheets and terms and conditions? Or will every deal approach and already have crossed that bridge?
That's also a very good question. What we normally see is that most syndications in the analog version of business angel syndication go wrong simply in negotiations surrounding the term sheets. So what we try to do is to create a standardized term sheet. And as the actual invested amount can be lowered by using these kind of systems, as I said, ticket sizes will basically be divided by 10. The actual input or the risk you try to mitigate using a term sheet is being decreased, and therefore you can use standardized terms far more easier than with bigger ticket sizes.
Now, my audience, I've got to take a picture before I leave, Christian. How old are you, Christian?
I'm 28.
28. So you're really, you know, relatively young as an investor. Many of them have, like many business angels, are 40, 50 years old before they start getting involved in these kinds of deals, right? Mm-hmm. So they bring all that experience with them when it comes to crafting terms and conditions, let's say that. So you must have a board of advisors, or who's helping you put together some of those aspects of the business?
Yeah. Your observation is right. We seem to be quite young for a financial service provider. We work together with some of the top-notch law firms and accountancy firms in the world. We work together with AKD, which is the former legal branch of Deloitte, and we work for accountancy matters and taxation matters. We work together with BDO. BDO Chambers Ombers, the fifth largest accountancy firm in the world. Furthermore, we have a board of advice consisting out of former banking directors, under whom the former managing directors of Barclays Capital, Allianz Insurance. So we try to create a funding landscape, a fun investment experience, a financially attractive investment proposition.
Now, I'm interrupting you because I'm already feel like I'm an advisor, is how about having like a business angel leaders, you know, they're all over Europe. That would be because you're not working at the like Deloitte level. They have a lot of like, what would in the US, what do we call that? Fortune 100 experience, right? Mm-hmm. So I would think myself, they'd be a little out of touch with what happens like in your office here is kind of a typical startup. You've got four or five people sitting out there, right? So you need somebody. You've thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Normally they're sitting. There should be 12 people sitting here. So seven are on the road, which is obviously a good thing. But we still are essentially a startup. And what we try to do is to focus upon the things we're really good at, and that's coming up with innovative legal structures and executing them on an online premise. For our due diligence, corporate governance, we work together with partners or we work together with our existing shareholders, which do have the experience. And that way we try to combine the best of both worlds into one.
Now, I remember going back to Moscow, you, everything but rotten tomatoes were hurled at you. It was a hostile crowd in some ways, but I'm sure you visit, you know, certainly entrepreneur groups, and they must be thrilled to hear what you're doing, huh?
Yeah. Of course, everybody is kind of skeptical in the beginning, especially if we're talking about more sophisticated investors. But from the entrepreneurs, we got a lot of cheerios for the things we try to do, because we try to fix what is, in our opinion, for the European Union at least, a broken financial system in order to form sufficient capital for SMEs.
And if you are successful attracting the entrepreneurs with the exciting opportunities they'll be bringing, investors won't be able to resist, right? Mm-hmm. They'll find it attractive. They'll come with their wallet.
Yeah. What we try to combine is something which is pretty from the analog investment world. It's called return on investment, and we try to combine that with return on involvement, where people are actually provided with a collaboration environment, all being done digitalized, but how they can connect to their entrepreneur. I mean, if you make an investment of 2,000 euros, you don't want to drive over there every month to take a closer look at the business. But you do want to stay in touch. And using the internet, we can just do that and create that fun experience where you can be a dragon from your home, from the convenience of your home in your own desk. And you can learn a little bit about investing, about businesses, and you can connect with people all around the globe who have a likewise interest.
I'm still getting used to that term dragon. I'm not used to it. But so how about may I peel the onion a little bit more? How about the financials of your company here, and just in terms of like fundraising? Mm-hmm. You've raised money to this point and you're looking to raise more.
Yeah, in terms of crowdfunding capital raised, we raised in 12 months 1.2 million euros, of which 940,000 euros was activated within 10 different propositions. So for proof of concept, we are very happy that we were able to attract these kinds of investments. 80% of the money is originating from Holland, so Holland being a very small country. It allows us to draw the proof of concept line over the axis of Europe itself.
And now, is this people using the platform or Simbid the company itself?
No. This is people using the platform. If we're taking a closer look at our finances, we were crowdfunded to some extent.
Taking your own medicine?
Yeah. We were eating our own dog food. When we started out with Simbid, with the ID, we went to the authorities' financial markets and we came in with our presentation and we started explaining what we did. And there was a whole consortium of people sitting there, of the authorities' financial markets, the Dutch Central Bank, and there were 9-10 people sitting there, and we were pitching our ID, how we would transfer shares from the cooperative to the limited entity, etc., etc. And then all of a sudden they started laughing. They started laughing. Because,
oh, you know, that's a good sign usually, huh?
Normally when you're talking with regulators, when they start laughing, it's a good thing. After, but the only thing which was lacking was that they started laughing after the fact that I told them that what we created was in essence a transgressive stock market for SMEs. And they were quite appealed by that term, quite triggered by that term, because they said, all right, boy, and how old are you? And back then we were 26, so you can imagine that we had a kind of a legitimacy problem. And we tried to overcome that simply by listing the different skill sets we're going to need. So we're talking about insurances, banking, financing, structuring, corporate financing tracks, et cetera, et cetera. And we had a list of, say, 10 specific functions. And then we started to select certain people, which were in the network of our current angel investor, with people who have exactly those skills. And we invited those people all in two different pitch sessions. And we all said, guys, you can buy a stake in this company, 1% for 10,000 euros. And that's how we got our first startup capital. We sold 15% of our company to a large group of former banking directors, insurance directors, with exactly those skills we were lacking in our startup team.
Now, just in general, I would imagine Simbid is going to need a lot of money to, you know, fulfill your dream, or many companies like Simbid are quite efficient with capital. How do you come in on that?
We are a startup, and with our backgrounds in entrepreneurship, we know that you can only spend your dollar only once. So we utilize bootstrapping to the maximum extent. We try to bootstrap legal costs. We try to bootstrap accountancy costs as well as development costs of the platform. And we try to be as capital efficient as we can be, as we have limited funds to work with. And our vision is quite great in terms of magnitude and impact.
Now, it's usually marketing is, see, so many startups approach, you know, my angel group. They have a good concept. They've been able to build their platform, accomplish great things. But taking that big step, they want many times millions of dollars to do marketing. You'll be facing the same kind of challenges.
Yeah, to some extent, you're definitely right. We're going to need marketing power to show that a cooperative investment being done by Simbid is a legitimate investment. We need to position Simbid and Simbid certificates as a whole new asset class for potential unsophisticated and sophisticated investors. And that's going to take a lot of marketing power. However, we have one big ace in the hole, and that is called the crowd in itself. The crowd is an essence, is an asset for us, and a marketing asset, and a good one as well. We are, for example.
So your basic product, you know, the whole company is geared around exactly what you need to do to tell the whole world about what you're doing. That's a nice synergy.
Exactly. It's a viral loop. This is also, and this is also, we stipulate quite often on the platform itself. Dear investor, you can also help by only sharing this opportunity. You do not even have to put in your own money. Just posting it on your Facebook, posting it on your Twitter creates a certain pool of the market, and that results in investments eventually.
This is a very exciting story, Christian, and I wish you well with it. And have I already said thank you today? You nominated me. I'm here in Rotterdam today because of your nomination. I'm going to, there's a big entrepreneur event tomorrow night and then one Thursday in The Hague. So I have you to thank for that. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're more than welcome. When the question came in, if I knew an angel investor who might be willing to come over to Holland and also have an exciting story to tell the Dutch audience, I immediately had to think of you and, of course, our panel discussion in Moscow. And hopefully they will show you a very good time and show you some interesting opportunities. And hopefully we see each other next year in Moscow, hopefully with a lesser hostile crowd.
I think that's going to turn around for you one of these days. You'll be, it's very exciting, and I wish you continued good luck with it, Christian. Thanks for joining me on the show today.
Thank you very much, Frank, for having me.
We're back in the studio, and once again, let's say thank you to Gus.com. In use by over 750 early-stage financing organizations in 75 countries around the world. It's Gust. Check them out, please. Entrepreneurs, angel investors, angel group leaders. It's Gust, G-U-S-T.com. And thank you to the Yucca Law Firm here in Southern California. Big contributors to the whole entrepreneur ecosystem. Please visit them at Yucca.com. Well, I had such a great time in the Netherlands. I can't wait to go back. I have one or two more interviews from my time there. So we're going to stay on this Dutch theme for a little while. And then it's year end. We'll catch some year end summaries from some of your favorite angel groups will be chiming in. May I give a plug to one of my other blogs? Many of you know I'm a cycling enthusiast, a cycle advocate here in Newport Beach, California. I run a blog called CDM Cyclist. And of course, while I'm in the Netherlands, which is Bicycle Nirvana, I am meeting with my fellow Netherlands bicycle advocates, and just as much taking photos of the Dutch riding their bikes, which, you know, it's hard to see. Seldom do we see scenes like that here in Southern California, I'll tell you. So check that out, cdmcyclist.com. Well, I have a busy calendar. John Houston always likes to know, Frank, how big is your backlog right now? Well, it's pretty good right now. Seems like a rich season, a lot going on in early stage investing. So tune right back in, please. TheFrankPetersShow.com. Thanks so much for listening, and good night.